Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
Our biggest fan, we're just testing them to see if they waited all the way through, because, again, I should have done that a couple of minutes ago, but it was about 30 minutes ago when I gave the warning, so hopefully you are still listening. If you hear your name called right now, we're going to give you 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 or on Ben and Woods, and if you do so, you will win our prize for today. It's a four-pack of tickets to join us at 97.3 The Fan's Takeover Night at the SeaWorld Celebration presented by Sprint on Friday, December 13th. Over 1 million lights, and they've got all new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. And then you'll also be entered to win our Vegas getaway, a downtown two-night stay at the Plaza Hotel and Casino. We'll give you dinner for two at the Uniquely Las Vegas Oscars Steakhouse and two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience. All right. Said all that, now it's
Jesus,
time for the name.
God.
Time for the name. The name is Josh Bender. Josh Bender, you're the biggest fan. You're on the clock, 833-288-0973. Good luck.
Paul, that 15 minutes of copy that he just read, pull it, save it for when he's gone on vacation, and play it on Thursday and Friday so I don't have to do that.
Done.
Thank you. So you will be making an appearance. We're going to really confuse some people on Friday.
I think the fun part, though, is having to listen to you do all the things that I normally
do. He doesn't do it. I had to do it.
Paul has to do it.
Paul has to do it. How would we know? When was the last time I was actually gone for a day?
I think it was back at the old place.
No, I was
off one day in July.
You showed up a couple hours late. You had something
going on. I did, and I was late one day, too.
And we had to just kind of wing it.
Wing it. Now, I'll be prepared, but I don't like to do all the other stuff. I don't like the business stuff. It's not my strong suit.
See, now I enjoy.
I know you do.
The mechanics and the business stuff.
You're an announcer. I am not an announcer.
I would like to be Johnny Gilbert reading the prize. Rod Roddy.
100%. Easiest gig in the world for a guy like you.
About what the prize is today, Johnny.
It's it. That's
and then
it.
Then I get my copy and I get to go. I like that.
So
part.
I will, Paul, we'll have that to play when we do the biggest fan. We'll just have Ben setting it all up.
All right, we're certainly still taking opinions. We had some calls earlier on the uniform reveal on Saturday night. If you were lucky enough to be out there, get invited, love to hear your first-hand account, what you thought, 833-288-0973. But we also talked about it very early. I thought we should bring it back. The slight bit of news the Padres announced over the weekend, right after our show, actually, on Friday, about some new coaches. Well, the Padres haven't officially announced it, but the news broke nonetheless that Darren Balsley is no longer going to be the pitching coach of the Padres after, 16 years on the bench through three-plus different managers, depending on whether you count the interims. He will be replaced by former Yankees pitching coach Larry Rothschild starting this season. And Woodsy definitely cringed a little bit when he saw that one. In fact, I remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about whether or not Balsley would be back and who the Padres would be hiring as pitching coach, Woodsy pretty much said, as long as it's not Larry Rothschild, whatever, it's fine. So out of all the 7 billion people on the planet, you would have been happy with just about every other one.
Correct. Correct. I'll say this. It was a head scratcher for me I do. So if you break it down, you do understand why you would want to surround Jace Tingler with some veterans, right? Some people that have done it. Larry Rothschild, he's a veteran. There's no doubt about that. Been around, seen it all, won World Series.
We heard they also interviewed Brian Price for the job, another pitching coach, former Major League Baseball manager with the Reds.
Yep, and I just, it was one of those things, after watching Larry for the last 8-9 years in New York, I just kind of got tired of seeing guys not living up to their potential. You kind of got tired of seeing them, you know, not winning World Series or getting to the World Series. And it was that whole thing of like, hey, man, and by all accounts, again, like the greatest guy. Like CC Sabathia loves Larry Rothschild. Loves him. Loves him, loves him, loves him. Now, I don't know how much Larry actually has to do with CC Sabathia, right? Like CC Sabathia has been doing this a long time, probably has his routines. Doesn't probably need to go to Larry for a lot. Larry probably doesn't mess with him much. But I have seen guys come into New York and not be what they were. I've then seen them leave and go be better. So in my opinion, and for what that counts is literally nothing. He was a guy that I had kind of just gotten tired of seeing around for the last decade.
Now, would you say it's fair that the Yankees pitching staff was older than the Padres pitching staff? Maybe more set in their ways, maybe less receptive to the coaching they were getting from Larry Rothschild. And
well,
staff like the Padres have might be just the right person they need.
I mean, yeah. You can spin it any way you want. I mean, for me, you know, Luis Severino is a potential ace that is always kind of on the cusp of greatness. And sometimes he's there, sometimes he isn't. He has major flaws mechanically in really some of the biggest games. And that, to me, I think a lot of that should fall on the pitching coach. But again, I've never played big league baseball. I don't really know what a pitching coach does. I really don't know. I know Brent Strom for the Astros is very important, Ben. He has taught Garrett Cole, taking him from being an all-star to a $400 million potential contract getter. He took Charlie Morton as a journeyman and made him into an all-star. I've seen it with Brent Strom. I never saw it with Larry Rothschild. I can't give you an example of a guy. We saw it with Darren Balsley. Darren Balsley was a scrap heap guy. Darren Balsley was a guy that's like, hey, you think your career's finished? Well, I'm going to make you into an all-star closer. We saw it. I can't look back at the last 8-9 years watching the Yankees and say to myself, well, that guy would have been nothing without Larry Rothschild. But then again, I mean, what do I know?
Now,
I know is I got tired of seeing
earlier
that.
In his career, he was a coach with the Reds, bullpen coach, when they won the World Series in 1990. Spent some time a little bit with the Braves, with the Maddox-Glavine-era Braves. Then went to the Florida Marlins as a pitching coach and won a World Series ring there in 1997. That got him the job managing the Tampa Bay Devil Rays at the time. Their inaugural season. So, I mean, wasn't
not
really
great.
Set up
yeah.
for success.
Of course.
He stayed around for 3 losing seasons. Then he got fired. Since then, he's been the pitching coach of the Cubs and the Yankees for the rest of that time. And, not either the greatest era of Cubs or the Yankees, but then again, the pitching coach isn't necessarily the most important figure in the organization.
He's not really the make-or-break guy, but again, unless you point to a guy like Brent Strom, right? I mean, he is a guy that has really turned the Astros into the Astros. I mean, he and A.J. Hinch and their front office and the things that they've employed and the different methods that they've used has turned them into the dominant pitching team that they are. They've revived careers. I see guys go to New York with a lot of potential, and then I see them leave a couple of seasons later having not lived up to that potential, and then I see them maybe reach that potential again somewhere. So I don't know. Maybe it's an organizational philosophy. But I do know that after 8 or 9 years, when the Yankees said they're hiring a guy that hasn't pitched past high school, I was like, sounds good to me. That was my initial reaction. I really thought the pods may go in a weirder kind of off the beaten path direction, you know, like they did with the manager. I thought they would go get one of those maybe driveline type disciples like Kyle Boddy or somebody like that, which is kind of what the Yankees did. They flip-flopped it. You know, the Yankees usually are the guy that goes and hires the old veteran, and the Padres would hire somebody off the beaten path. I thought they flip-flopped it a little.
Which would have been fine, except I think they were pretty committed to finding someone with managerial experience,
yeah,
put on Jace Tingler's staff, and it doesn't look like any of the other coaches that they're hiring have been managers before, other than maybe keeping Rod Barajas in a role, but he's been a manager for 8 games at interim. I don't think that really counts. So you've got one guy who's that seasoned kind of vet who's been around the block a few times. He's managed for a few years and will be able to add that perspective in the coaches' discussions. Other than that, you know, there wasn't a lot of other options out there.
It's pretty funny. Like, the Yankees are going to now trade Eric Lauer, or the Padres are going to now trade Eric Lauer to the Yankees. And it's just going to be this back and forth of people that I think it's time to move on before they go to the other team I like.
What do you think, as long as you bring that up, is there some Yankees that, you know, Larry Rothschild might be in A.J. Preller's ear saying, hey, I love this guy's arm. Let's see if we can bring him to San Diego.
There's a guy named Dellin Betances that I wonder would if he'd be a good fit here in San Diego. I think with an arm like Dellin's, I think he'd be a good fit anywhere. But he's another one, man. Ridiculous talent and can be pretty inconsistent at times. So I did scratch my head when I saw this move come down Friday when it hit, and I told you I was getting texts from people that had heard me say that, like, what are you going to do now? I'm like, I'm going to have to wear it. I mean, what else do I do? What's my option?
All right, got a little sidetracked there, but it's a good discussion that I wanted to bring back. I did want to get to some of the audio from Saturday night from the unveiling of the uniforms. I thought it was pretty cool that they had the big three there. Wasn't sure if all three were going to show up.
Oh, what did I tell you walking into the venue, Benny?
Yeah, we knew that Tatis was in town based on Instagram. We had heard from a source that they had seen Eric Hosmer at the airport, but no one had told us anything about Manny Machado.
So here's what happened with Manny Machado. So I'm looking at Instagram. This is 2 days ago. Okay, so that's day of the event. Here's Machado's.
You were nervous.
I was, and I said, Ben, Monday, I got to light him up. I'm going to have to light him up. How could we not light him up for not being here, especially after he posts this on Saturday? I got my Call of Duty tactical kit just in time to celebrate Veterans Day. Hashtag higher honor, hashtag Call of Duty partner, hashtag modern warfare. And I said,
hashtag Call of Duty is probably paying Manny Machado a nice fee to post that on Instagram.
There's no doubt about it.
I think hashtag Call of Duty partner probably.
Yeah, that gave it away.
Explain that one.
But my thing was, all right, I the way I pictured it was this. Manny was home in Florida or something getting his Call of Duty tactical kit. And while we're running out with new uniforms, Manny's at home playing Call of Duty. And I think we would have had to light Manny Machado up if he was not at the reveal.
I don't believe you could do it.
I could. I would have for that. You're the face of the franchise, man. You have to be here. And he was.
I think he did. And I'm glad he showed up. Here's what Manny Machado had to say, his first impressions of the new brown uniforms.
It's a little different, but you know, it's good to get used to, and you know, knowing that the fans wanted it, and you know, it's going to be big for the city. It's you know, it's awesome to put it on, and you know, it's a new journey for us. New manager, new team coming in. You know, it's definitely something that we're looking forward to for next year.
I think Manny looks pretty good in pinstripes.
It's a little different.
He's Miami.
Is the flashy colors and everything. That's a different. It's a different vibe coming to brown, obviously, but he'll come to appreciate it, I think.
Hosmer was stoked. He was tweeting.
Listen to Hosmer. He is all about the brown.
Yeah, I think that's the way everyone's looking at it is, you know, we can turn the page of those tough times, and, you know, we're trying to start a new wave now, a new culture, and the brown really represents the beginning of all that. Yeah, we definitely, you know, wanted to make this special. Like we said, this is you know, us turning the page on, you know, a lot of tough times together, and, you know, hopefully having a really bright future. And you can see the fans were, you know, ultra excited for it. Like Ron said, that's what the fans have been asking for a long time. And, yeah, we felt that it'd be special for all of us to come out and you know, we unveil this with the fans and ownership and everybody do it together.
Who's the best model?
What does unveiled mean?
Number one.
Number two, he was like tweeting about it, and so he was stoked. He's like, "These are so clean." Manny was like, "Ah, it'll take a little getting used to." I was a little surprised.
A little different.
A
little different.
I see the person on social media who suggested that Manny looked a little pudgy in pinstripes.
I saw that. It just got killed.
Vertical stripes are supposed to be slimming, right?
You would think we would wear more vertical stripes.
We should.
On our show.
Well, let's ask Paul Lucas. UniWatch is going to be with us here coming up at 8:35. We'll get the actual like an eye for fashion on the Padres uniforms. And
it's then a little different.
Then we'll get into some of Ron Fowler's comments on Saturday night as well.
Hey, what do you think of Ben and Woods?
A little different.
A little getting used to. Like, I don't think if our boss said that, would we be like, ah, we got it made. We killed it.
Manny's not going to kill anyone with enthusiasm. That's
a little different.
That's not his brand. Let's be clear here. So just, you know, we know that about Manny.
It's a little different.
It's a little different. It's a little different. A little different.
Would it kill you? Like, oh, they're sweet.
Oh, God.
How about they're sweet? Oh, these things are, you know.
Oh, but, dude, these are, all right, ask me.
Tight.
Ask me.
Manny, what do you think of the new brand uniforms?
Incredible. I love them. I look great. Everybody looks great. You see Tatis, he looks phenomenal. Yeah, this is what we're rolling now, man. I couldn't be happier. Clean. These look clean. I love
clean.
Them.
Clean. There
you go. It's not that hard.
It's a little different.
A little different.
It's a little different.
All right. We will get back to the uniform talk with UniWatch, Paul Lucas at 8:35. Up next, though, the Tide get rolled by LSU and a shocker in the Big Ten. We'll talk a little.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ed. We'll talk a little college football when we come back with Ben and Woods. Right now, check a traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. You up for a little college football playoff talk, Woods?
I'm just up for college football talk in general.
I watched quite a bit on Saturday. Both of the undefeated games. I watched, first of all, Penn State and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
They looked very happy. I don't know the last time Minnesota was relevant as a football team. They were talking about the last time that Minnesota started like 9-0, there were only 46 states in the union. It's been a while.
Right?
And they had that place rocking outside in Minnesota. Penn State comes in, still is a big favorite. And that's what college football is all about. When you can just tell, like, a crowd is lifting their team to an unlikely victory.
Pretty
that was
solid.
A really cool game.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I was playing baseball until about noon, and then I hauled ass home so I could get there for the LSU-Alabama game. And we were not disappointed at all. And I was listening to – I actually had to listen to the first little bit right here on our beloved 97.3 The Fan. We were carrying that game, Ben. And the Tua fumble. I mean, so what I'm hearing driving home, and I'm jamming north on the 5, trying to get home so I can watch it, and all you hear is Alabama moving the football down the – like huge chunks of yards. And then they're there, and they're poised to punch it in. And they're like, Tua fumbles, and LSU recovers. I'm like – what happened? Did his gimpy ankle roll over? He just had surgery on his ankle. No, man. Ball slipped, literally just slipped out of his hands. I mean, it was shocking.
Well, that turnover, and then right at the end of the first half when LSU scored,
yes,
like, what, 14 quick points,
yep,
there, sandwiched around the interception by Tua. I mean, completely changed that game. And now it's a really weird situation for college football that Alabama – is basically, their season's almost done. They still have the Auburn game coming up, but they're not going to make their conference championship game.
Right.
So they're just going to be sitting there. They're currently ranked fourth in the AP poll. The new college poll will come out tomorrow. They may be fourth, they may be fifth, but they're going to have very little resume that actually merits them getting into the college football playoff.
Roll that, what? F*** you!
But they're Alabama. They're still going to be Alabama, and there's going to be a lot of people who still think they're one of the four best teams in the country. And you could say, well, if it's their one loss, and it came in a close game to LSU, who is clearly one of the best teams in the country, what teams have a more impressive loss on their schedule?
Right.
But who has better wins? I mean, you've got to prove yourself at some point.
There's a tweet I retweeted over the week. There's a girl on the beach, and the tide is coming in, and she's got a broom. And it's pointless, but she's trying to sweep the waves back into the ocean, and it says, the College Football Playoff Committee trying to keep Alabama in the top four after losing to LSU. And that's exactly what it will be. And look, man, Alabama is a great, great football team. They're a lot of fun to watch. I mean, if you don't have a rooting interest, Ben, in really any of the teams in the top four, do you care if Alabama's in there? They're a really good football team. Do you care at all if a one-loss Alabama team is in the playoffs?
Do I care?
Do you care?
I want the four best teams in the playoffs. If it's Alabama, then it's Alabama.
Wouldn't they be one?
But
if they were on the table, wouldn't they still be one of the best?
But if
four?
I'm a one-loss Pac-12 champion,
come on,
Oregon or Utah, and I won my conference, championship game, I'm a conference champion.
Yeah.
Your one loss wasn't to LSU.
And there, but I won my conference.
This is the beauty. It's the chaos.
I had to play an extra game and beat a top 10 team to win my conference.
But your loss wasn't.
Whereas Alabama just got to sit at home and do nothing. And they get to back their way into the college football playoff.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
No.
Hasn't happened yet.
It will.
It very well may happen, which, by the way,
Oregon would have a gripe. I mean, their loss was to number 16 Auburn at the week one.
Week one, they sweep the rest of the way. They beat a Utah team that will also probably be in the top 10 if they keep winning. I think Oregon would have a real gripe to see if they're sitting at home. Well, Alabama, that doesn't even win the division in their own league.
Utah lost to USC. To the playoff. That's a terrible loss.
That's a terrible, terrible
if
loss.
If Utah won out, Alabama's one loss to LSU would still put them over the edge.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, it.
And then Oklahoma, while they got a scare over the weekend, they're still a one-loss team as well.
But that one, I mean, Oklahoma, that's talk about those wins that feel like losses in college football. That was one of them. That was one where you're like, this shouldn't be nearly as close as it is.
And finally, while I know that I know a lot of people are probably ripping Rocky Long today after his team lost to Nevada, and even Rocky Long was ripping Rocky Long, saying coaching wasn't good enough. Team didn't look prepared. The offense is stagnant. It's not good. It's sputtering. It's not going anywhere. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to praise Rocky Long today. Rocky Long, who is always right. Rocky Long, who tells us every single week that this opponent is a lot better than you think, and if we're not careful, we could easily lose. Rocky Long has always proven to be correct at some point in the season. He always calls that ugly loss that is eventually coming for the Aztecs.
Isn't that just
him? And he nailed it this week with Nevada.
Isn't that just him giving himself an out?
Well, when he predicts it every week, eventually he's going to be right.
It's the boy that cried wolf
every week, right? He was finally right. Yes, his team got burned by a lesser opponent. I don't care what he says. Nevada was a lesser opponent that San Diego State should have taken care of. Not that they're a incompetent football team, but they were a lesser opponent. You got to beat those teams. Now they got to win two in a row to get to the conference championship game, which is fine. They should probably have to win those games anyway to get where they wanted to go.
17-point favorites at home.
Yeah.
You got to win that game. You just have to. You don't even have to cover, but you got to win that game.
All right, looking forward to what's coming up next. Paul Lucas, UniWatch. He's been covering uniforms in sports for like decades. He's going to be with us next year on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ben and Woods, wrapping things up on a Monday morning, last segment of the day. But hopefully everyone has a great Monday, whether you're on or off on this Veterans Day, and certainly saluting all the veterans out there. Sure, all of us brown-starved Padres fans seem pleased on Saturday night. But what does the expert eye have to say? We're going to get to UniWatch, Paul Lucas, in just a moment, right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Light roadways out there with Kelly Danning.
It was fun. It was a positive experience to see how the fans reacted. I talked to a lot of them beforehand, and I think they had high expectations. But going out, I talked to probably 30 or 40 fans, and I understand that's a mother-in-law survey. But every one of them was really pleased with what we had, and that makes you feel good because a lot of work went into it that people don't realize, but it was probably collectively over 1,000 hours of time and research that went into this, and I think it was well worth it to see the fan reaction tonight.
Well, talk about an evolution in his thought. Ben Woods brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. When we talked with Ron Fowler, I think early last year at our old radio station,
yes,
he came up with the asked about the brown uniforms. Basically said, I'm not a big fan of baby poop brown.
Indeed.
Now he has heard the drum beat and has found a brown that he likes a lot better, that he calls a rich, dark chocolate brown. It's the new color of the Padres. And on Saturday night at the big unveiling party, had a chance to meet a guy. I've been reading his stuff for many years. You can follow him on Twitter, at UniWatch. He's Paul Lucas. And Paul, it's great to have you here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me out.
I've been reading your stuff. I mean, you were like back on the old Page 2 ESPN back in the day. How long have you been following this uniform stuff, and how did you get into it?
I've been writing UniWatch for 20 years now. This is our 20th anniversary year, or universary, if you will. and I got the idea because, like a lot of people, I was sort of had a geeky obsession with uniform design. I liked to wear my Little League uniform just so when I was a kid. And I had a girlfriend who was kind of getting tired of me pointing at the TV every time we watched the game. And I was saying, like, look how he wears his sleeve different from the way that other guy wears his sleeve, or whatever it was. And she said, you know, Paul, maybe you need an outlet for this. And I'm a journalist. I already doing a lot of writing for magazines and so on. I hadn't done any sports writing. And I thought, oh, maybe this is my way into sports writing. I'll create a column about uniforms. And that's how UniWatch was born.
Well, and, you know, I moved to San Diego 10 years ago from Dallas, Texas, but grew up a Yankee fan. And obviously, if you're a Yankee fan, you know what uniform you have every single year. And it's you. There's literally never, like, maybe an alternate is darker, you know, like it, but it's the pinstripes and then it's the away grays. And you just kind of know that's coming. So when I moved here, and started watching the Padres and following the Padres a lot, I heard a lot about uniforms, a lot. And, you know, looking back at the Padres' history, they had so many different incarnations. What was your favorite, and what do you think of the new ones?
I was a fan of the Taco Bell period, the Steve Garvey period. I thought that was really fun, playful design. But mainly anything from the brown and gold period, because that was a color that the Padres owned. No other team had anything like it. And that was really, you know, I think it was probably laughed at a bit in the beginning, but, you know, it stuck around and it became their core identity. And then they went away from it and they did a lot of blue, and there was the blue and orange, the blue and white, the blue and sand. And they never really had a core identity after they moved away from the brown. And you talked in your open just now, you said there was a drum beat, that the Padres have heard the drum beat. Let me tell you, I have heard a drum beat for the 20 years I've been writing about uniforms from fans, Padres fans, like, please, please make them bring back the brown. Is there anything you can do, Paul, to get them to bring back the brown? And I say, you know, that's not my department. I write about it. I don't make it happen. But it's definitely something that fans have been wanting, and it's nice that ownership finally listened and did something about it.
The color brown in particular. I know what you were saying, the 1970s, the Taco Bell, it kind of had that disco shag carpet, a lot of brown, you had brown cars, and people kind of got tired of it. It got a little stale, and then it went away. No one wore brown for a long time, but I've noticed in recent years, brown has actually come back as a color in fashion. Wouldn't you say, like, it's being used a lot more than it used to?
Honestly, I can't say I've kept track of that. So if you say so, I'll take your word for it. I'm more of a blue jeans and t-shirt kind of guy myself. But there's definitely some cross-pollination in general between sports design and, regular fashion design. It does happen. It certainly happened in the 70s during that period you mentioned when the Padres first wore brown. But I think what's interesting is that how many of these teams, like, deviate from their core look, the look that really kind of put them on the map, the visual map, and then circle around and end up back where they started. Like the Toronto Blue Jays, went way far away from where they started in the 70s and now are wearing basically an updated version of how they started. It's not quite the same thing, but it's very close to the same thing. And there you see other teams doing things like that. And now the Padres are basically doing it. And I didn't answer your other question when you said, what do I think of the new designs? And I think they look pretty good. First, I myself have been advocating for them to come back to brown for a long time. And I'm glad they've finally done so. I think it's great that they, as you mentioned, Fowler was originally opposed to it, but he's put his own personal feelings aside and listened to the fans. And that, for basically the kind of rich billionaire who owns a sports team nowadays, it can be really hard for them to put their ego aside. And I think it's to his credit that he's listened to the fans and is doing what they wanted, not just what he wants. And my only gripe is that I think the chest lettering on the home uniform looks too much like what they've been wearing, like the chest lettering they've had in the last 5 or 10 years, which I felt they needed to deviate and move away from that a little more strongly, because it was just a characterless period in their aesthetic history. And even though they changed the colors, I would have preferred to see some lettering that was a little more playful, a little more, I guess, that disco ball era you were talking about. But overall, I think it's a very solid design. I really respect that they don't have like a million alternate jerseys and alternate caps that they're going to play mix and match. I spoke quite a bit with Wayne Partello, the chief marketing officer, and he said, we're going for consistency here. We don't want to be one of those franchises anymore that keeps changing all the time. We don't want to play mix and match. We want it so that when our fans turn on the TV, they can tell that's the Padres out there. It's certainly the trend now in the industry. Throw out all these alternate designs. You can sell more caps, sell more jerseys. And I really, I find it kind of refreshing that the Padres have taken a more restrained approach, at least for this first season of this new chapter of their uniform history. I think they probably will add more alternate designs in the years to come. But at least for now, they're keeping it very, very straightforward. And I think that's great.
Talking to Paul Lucas from UniWatch. And so just to kind of know where you stand, who is your favorite in Major League Baseball? And then what is your least favorite? What's the biggest atrocity in Major League Baseball?
Diamondbacks. My favorite is the Cardinals. I've always loved the birds on the bat. I'm from New York myself, and you mentioned the Yankees earlier, and certainly that interlocking NY is iconic. But I think the Cardinals birds on the bat is even at least as much, and maybe even more iconic. I love the colors of it. I'm not a Cardinals fan personally. I don't root for them. I have no emotional stake in that. But I love the look of their uniforms. Always have.
They are clean.
For the least favorite, I up until a few days ago, it definitely would have been the Diamondbacks because they've had that snakeskin pattern that just looked ridiculous. They've had those really dark charcoal road uniforms. But I don't know if you guys are aware or if your listeners are aware, they have just gotten rid of both of those elements.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, there's no more sublimated snakeskin pattern on the jerseys or the caps. They look more or less like normal jerseys and caps now. And the road grays are now truly gray, not the dark charcoal. It's still not what I would call a good looking uniform set, but it's not as bad as it was. It's definitely an upgrade.
Are they still wearing the pewter pants though? Because those are it would be one of those things.
I missed the party with 6,000 Arizona Diamondbacks fans announcing those changes.
We missed those. No, are they still going to be rocking those pewter pants that look
the charcoal or pewter or whatever you want to call it? They're not doing that on the road anymore.
Okay,
it's just conventional gray now.
Well, I was really looking forward to making fun of them, continuing to make fun of them for those awful, awful.
Maybe they'll bring it back as a throwback.
And yeah, I'm sure they will.
I'm looking at them right now. They are an improvement. That is, Paul just sent me a link to their new home teal. I'm not a big fan of, but okay. Stirrups. Let me ask Paul's opinion. Baseball players should wear stirrups. Woodsy, I've never even asked you about this. I mean, You wear stirrups?
I would say that a big part of why I started UniWatch was was to advocate for stirrups. And, of course, here in San Diego, you've got Chris Paddock, who is, like, practically a hosiery hero for wearing stirrups all the time. You know, one of the photos they released, the promo photos that the Padres released for these new uniforms, showed Chris Paddock wearing beautiful brown and gold stirrups. They look great, man. And, yeah, I wish more ballplayers would do it. At the very least, ballplayers should hike up their pants, show those socks. That's why we have teams called the Red Sox and the White Sox. Don't wear your pants down. It's down to your shoe tops, all baggy like pajamas, like Manny Machado does. Hike them up. If you can't show stirrups, just show colored socks. That's fine. We can live with that. But stirrups are definitely where it's at. They're like, they're a unique baseball thing. They're like part of baseball's visual signature. And when I talked about my first Little League uniform, when I said a few minutes ago when I got that, to me, that was the best part because, you know, everyone wears a shirt. Everyone wears pants. But who wears stirrups? Baseball players, that's who wears stirrups. And that when I got my first uniform, that's what seemed so official to me, that I had this one piece of equipment, of gear, that made me feel like a baseball player most of all. And I wish more ball players felt like that.
Now, I'm a fat guy that still plays adult league baseball, and I have to wear long baggy pants because I'm chubby, and I just feel like it's a bet, like the bigger you are, I can't wear, I'm not Chris Paddock. The guy's a string bean. You know what I mean? I can't, like, that looks cool on him. It doesn't look cool on me, or else I probably would. But I have recently adopted, like, the last five to eight years, I've done the longer pants, a little more blousey like Manny. It's a better look for me. It's a better feel. I don't know.
I'll take your word for it, because I haven't seen you play, haven't seen you out on the field, but whatever works for you. But I would say for most players, when possible, I mean, we can grant a waiver or an exemption every now and then.
Yeah, fat guy waiver. I get it. It's fine. Totally fine with it.
But, Paul, pretty much every old style eventually comes back. I mean, I'm seeing it in the NBA, guys are starting to wear, like, short shorts.
Oh,
again,
no.
Shorter. I wouldn't say we're at the, like, full John Stockton level yet. But shorts are definitely after, you know, they've gone down to the
They're not the Allen Iverson shorts that go down to your, almost to your, like, mid-calves that they were wearing in the early 2000s in basketball either.
That's true. But if you're saying that stirrups are going to come back, I unfortunately, I'm a little more pessimistic about that because it's not just a style. It's sort of a high-maintenance thing. With stirrups,
yes.
It is this extra, you know, you're wearing two pairs of socks, basically. You've got the white undersock, the sanitaries, and then you've got stirrups, and that's just more to keep track of. You've got to keep them at the same level. You've got to sort of keep them just so. It is sort of like, so I know certain players, probably like Chris Paddock, kind of take pride in that. They enjoy that. They enjoy the ritual of getting it just so. But a lot of other players, and this is why pants started going down to the shoe tops to begin with, it's just less work. You don't have to worry about your pants being cuffed at exactly the same level. You don't have to readjust them after you slide into second base or whatever. And so it's not just an aesthetic thing or a style thing. There is sort of a practicality thing, and I think that's, unfortunately, it's going to be hard to get that toothpaste back in the tube.
Well, Paul, it's a fascinating topic. It was nice to meet you on Saturday night at Petco Park, and we do appreciate you coming on the air with us and spending a few minutes talking about the Padres' new duds. Thank you.
Thank you. As you can probably tell, I love talking about this stuff. So anytime.
Paul Lucas, you can follow him at UniWatch, the 20-year anniversary.
The anniversary. Yeah, and, you know, I love new gear. I love new cleats. I love new belts. We got new uniforms. I love them, like, piecing stuff together. It's great, but the stirrups I just can't do. The high socks I cannot do. It's just not my look.
I know. I like the hashtag of hosiery hero.
Hosiery hero.
For Chris Paddock. Yeah.
Oh, and he looks rad when he does it. I do not. I know. You just know kind of where
Well, it's also, remember, when you're a Major League Baseball player, you've got a clubhouse staff keeps you stocked with new ones. You never worry about the elastic, you know, starting to fade a little bit. It's going to be perfect. Now, like in Little League, you get the one, and the one was kind of starting to get a little droopy, and it was always hard to...
Droopy stirrups were the worst.
Oh, they were
and
the worst.
I remember the first time I think I ever put them on, I put them on backwards. And one of my buddies was like, you look like an idiot. And I was like, I hate this. I really... When pants came, like, when the baggy... Like, when Manny Ramirez started wearing baggy pants, I'm like, I looked at him, I went, that's me. Right there. Like, kind of slovenly a little bit. I was like, that's me.
What's was it Griffey who started wearing really long as well? Like, he would almost, like, step on the back of his pants.
Well, some guys actually take the back of it, and they hook it through their metal cleat on the back, and it'll kind of
keep
pull
the pants
down.
Yeah,
keeps the pants down.
It feels like that would trip me up when I was trying to run.
You think that. You do, and I've done that before, too. It's kind of a goobery look now, though. It's kind of passe.
My mom would never get me, like, the nice pants that just naturally did that. They had the elastic band around the ankle, and I had to, like, get in there with a knife and cut out the elastic.
It's the telltale sign of if you're still playing ball. There are a lot of guys in my league that listen. It's the telltale sign of a guy that doesn't know what he's doing. You meet him. He's like, hey, I'm interested in playing ball. Sure, come on out. And he shows up, and he's got those elastics, and they go about three quarters down his calf, and you see just a little bit of sock. You're like, yeah, you haven't played in 20 years, have you? You're going to be terrible. Like, it's like you just know it. Like, it's the first thing I see. I'm like, yeah, you got those. Last night at
it's big, like when we went to fantasy camp. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, you got. You're like, you went to Big Five last night and bought those, didn't you? And they're just these elastic, and you looked like such a goober in them.
So now that the uniforms are done and we can move forward, there's no more talk about bringing back the brown. What they're going to look like?
Brown is back.
It's good and bad news for the Padres because
now you got to. Now it's time.
That was a big win. No doubt for the organization on Saturday night. Huge win, something people have been looking forward to. You can't do that again. They can't next year after, you know, a 75-win season say, hey, uniform reveal party.
The powder blues.
It only works once. So now the focus becomes the product on the field. And I'll give Ron Fowler credit. Well, you know, talking to him, he could have taken a victory lap on Saturday night about the uniforms. But really, every time he spoke, he said, I'm glad we're doing this for the fans. Really, the priority, though, is winning and bringing a championship to San Diego. And now that's fully in the spotlight. Now, when will that championship come? They're obviously giving themselves a little leeway here in terms of the championship window. Here's what Ron Fowler had to say about the start of better and more competitive baseball here in San Diego.
Well, 2020 is next year, and we're going to be a lot better next year. I didn't say a championship in 2020, but we're going to keep these uniforms, and we're going to continue to improve. Both Peter and I said that 2021 was when we're going to compete and be able to get into the playoffs. We're still committed to that, and I think with the coaching staff we're putting together with Ting, I think we're doing really well getting to where we want to get to. But it's the off season, and we're in brown. People wanted brown. I think we gave it to them. Now we got to start winning baseball games.
I will never call him Ting. I cannot.
What about Tingley?
So that was a thing on Saturday night. Tingley is he said that's what the Latin players call him. Tingley. I don't also want to call him Jace. Is an odd name, I think.
Skip. Just call him Skip.
How about just I like JT is good.
JT.
JT solid. Hey JT.
I will say that I have no problem with Ron Fowler reminding people that they didn't say they were going to win a championship in 2020.
No, I think you'd have to be a moron.
No one thought they were. I'd rather not hear him say, you know, 2021's the year we're going to compete.
Stop saying dates. I think, stop giving years.
Well, I don't care if you say years. I think the Padres need to compete.
Now.
And everything they've said up until this point makes me think they're going to do what they can do to try to compete in 2020. I mean, they've already said 2020 is not a development year. It's a year to compete. Now, you know, they may not do the best job of competing in the world. They may not be ready to take that full step toward, you know, 90 to 95 win team. But there is a difference between playing to win all season. If they do that all year long and are competing, I would rather see that than biding your time for one more year and waiting until the window opens in 2021. I think we're going to see more of the former than the latter. I don't think there's development. I don't think there's the patience to do another season of that.
Be buyers at the deadline and be in the hunt. That's it. I mean, honestly, be there. Be in the hunt in September. Meaningful baseball in San Diego. Sold out crowds. Huge series, the last couple of weeks of the year. You know, adding a piece at the deadline. You guys happy with that? I'm feeling pretty good about where this team is headed if that's what next year is. And it almost has to be the baseline. That's got to be the baseline for next season, period. It has to be. There's got to be meaningful baseball past. Yeah, meaningful baseball stopped here this year, what? Late July, done. Which was a little better than the year before. but it's got to be better.
Got to be longer. All right, we will continue to discuss the Padres window as we move forward this week. That's it for us, though. Hope everyone has a great Monday, great holiday. Thanks to Jordan Spurgeon and for Hammer today. Hammer will be back tomorrow. Executive producer Paul Reindel. For Woodsy, I'm Ben. The Jim Rome Show up next right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.